Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Mem Bet. Today's daf has been dedicated to Fuas Shelema Aliza Matzara. Ella Refana La Betoch Shar Chole Amo Israel. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem, Tanihem began Eden, Amen. We will point out this being Rosh Chodesh Adar. We'd like to thank the sponsor of tonight's Saudah, special Saudah Lechbod, Rosh Chodesh, and the Hevrat Daf Yomi by Mr. Isaac Jamal. May he continue to enjoy Hatzlacha, Arbacha, B'chol Ma'aseh Yadav, and much nachat from his children. Amen.
Amen.
We are on Mem Aleph Amud Bet, and we are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan. Achal Selim Be'od Yom Hayav. We're talking about now the Korban Pesach. Now we know the Korban Pesach has to be Selim, roasted. So the Gemara says, if a person ate from the roasted Korban Pesach from Erev Pesach, Hayav, he's guilty, he's over. V'chezayit na mishachashecha Hayav. And if he ate a kezayit of Korban Pesach raw, or semi-raw as we call that, na, he's also going to be Hayav. The Gemara is going to explain. Katanet seli dumya dena. The Braita is telling us that the law of tzli is similar to the law of na. Mana belav, just like eating the Korban Pesach raw, you over a lot of belav. So too, if you eat it roasted, but on Erev Pesach, you also transgress a lot of ase. So Gemara asks, Bishlamana, I understand the isur of eating it raw, ketiv, al tochelu memenu na. You have a clear lot of ase. It says, al tochelu memenu. Elat seli minalam. What's the source that if you eat it roasted on Erev Pesach, Yehover Alot Ta'aseh? So the Gemara says, Dichtiv, Ve'achilu et ha-basar balayla hazeh. The Pasuk says you have to eat the Korban at night. Balayla in, Bayom la. Which means the Torah is clearly telling you that the Chayuv is to eat it at night, implying that if you eat it in the day, you're going to be Hayav. So the Gemara says, "Hay lav haba mechlal asehu." This is not a lot aseh. This pasuk. The pasuk is ba'achinu et ha-basar ba'layla. That's a mitzvah aseh. Now the lot aseh is implied, which means if you tell me to eat it on this night, implying that you can eat it earlier. That's called the lav haba mechlal aseh. A lot aseh that comes from the implication of the aseh. Again, the aseh is ba'achinu et ha-basar ba'layla aseh. Implying what? That if you do not eat it, do not eat it before. So the Gemara says, V'chol la baba mechlal aseh, aseh. The Gemara says, we have a rule that a la baba mechlal aseh is not considered a lot aseh. It's still a positive commandment, which means, how could you tell me that if you eat the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, you offer a lot aseh, there's no lot aseh? If anything, it's a lo ta'aseh that's implied from an aseh, but that's not a lo ta'aseh. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chasda, Hamani, who's this going like? Rabbi Yehudahi. It's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to prove that Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that even a lav, haba mechlal aseh, is considered a lo ta'aseh. How do we know? Netanya, because we have a braita. Shor vaseh sarua vekalut nedaba ta'ase oto, and I conclude the pasuk ul neder lo yirase. What are we talking about over here? Rashi says sarua, it's a type of animal, top line in Rashi, hu she'ahat me'inav gedola ve'ahat ketana.
the eyes are deformed. It has one big eye and one small eye. For that matter, its limbs are not proportionate. Meaning this animal is a ba'al mum. That's called a sarua. Kalut sheparsotav kelutot. Meaning its feet are split. Which is also considered a ba'al mum. So it says, what are you supposed to do with this animal? You designated it for a korban. But what happened? It became a ba'al mum. So now you can't bring it as a korban. So next, Rashi, nedava ta'ase oto. Meaning, you take the kedusha off the animal and transfer it to money, and that money you donate to the Bet HaMikdash. Nedava ta'ase oto. Rashi, ledamav agdishu lebet kabayit. Take the money of the value of it and donate it to the Bet HaMikdash. Ulneder la'alot korban lo yiratzeh. Which means the Torah is telling you that when it comes to a korban that became a ba'al mum, then you're able to make a nedaba and take the money and transfer it and give it to the Bet HaMikdash. But the pasuk says uneder lo yiratze, but not for a neder. What does that mean? Rashi, second line, vechatav oto. Towards the end of the Rashi, on the second line. Vechatav oto, oto ba'al mum atam matfis tektushat bet dekabayit. If that ba'al mum, you can transfer and give the money to the Bet HaMikdash. Ven atam matfis temimim hare'uyim nemizbeyach lebet dekabayit. But if it's a korban, that's tamim, meaning it's shalem. You can't just come along and say, you know what? I'm going to take the value of the money and donate it to Bet HaMikdash. No, if it's a korban, you got to give it to the mizbeyach. Only a ba'al mum, you're able to take the money of its value and donate it to the Bet HaMikdash. That's the pasuk. So now the chadush. We go back to the Gemara on top line. Netanya, shor vaseh, an ox or a sheep. Sarua, meaning ba'al mum, vekalut, also is a ba'al mum, nedaba ta'ase oto. Oto atam matfis lebet kabayit. It, you can transfer its value to Bet HaKabayit, meaning to money, and give it to the Bet HaMikdash. V'yatamat fis temimim lebet HaKabayit. But you cannot take a korban that is shalem and say, no, I'm not going to bring it as a korban, I'll just give its value to Bet HaMikdash. No, once you sanctify a korban and it's tamim, you have to bring it. Mikan amru, from here the rabbi said, kol amat fis temimim lebet HaKabayit. Anybody that does take the money of a korban that's shalem and gives it to the Bet HaMikdash, over be'aseh, he's going to transgress a positive commandment. Because the Torah clearly says you can only do it for a ba'al mum. So the Gemara says, "Eni ela be'aseh." Okay, I know the Torah, we have a positive commandment. Be'lo ta'aseh minayin. Where's the lo ta'aseh? In this pasuk, no lo ta'aseh. It just tells us you can only do it by a ba'al mum. So it's implied. Only ba'al mum oto ve'lo acherim. So the Gemara says, how do you know the lo ta'aseh? But where's the lo ta'aseh written? It's not written explicitly in the pasuk. Tamud lomar ve'daber Adonai el Moshe lemor. Here's the Biyudas Hadush. In the beginning of that parasha, it opens up with the pasuk ve'daber Hashem el Moshe lemor. The Biyudas is going to tell us a Hadush like this. Whenever a parasha opens up with the word lemor, lemor as if it's saying a lo ta'aseh. The word lemor, as if it says anything that's written subsequently in that parasha, is also considered a negative commandment. How? Limed al kol ha-parasha kula shiyeh belo ta'aseh. That word lemor gives the whole parasha that follows it a din in a lo ta'aseh. Therefore, when the Torah says, if you have a ba'al mum, you can transfer the kid the money and give it to the Bet HaMikdash as a donation, right? And the implication is what? The implication is only a ba'al mum, but not a shalem, not temimim. And the pasuk says lemor. And therefore it's coming to tell you it's a negative commandment if you do it. It's a lo ta'aseh. Oh, very good. Now we go back to our subject of the Korban Pesach. The Torah in introducing Korban Pesach also says, Vedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. It says the word lemor there. So what are we going to learn? That when the Torah tells you, you have to eat it that night. implying what? Lemor, if you don't eat it that night and eat it earlier, you're over a lot tasid, where you're going to be hayab. So therefore, it's the rule of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the question only is, how does the word lemor, which literally means saying, how does it have to do with a lot tasid? So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yehuda, Amar lo Rabbi lebar kapara, me'em mashma. From where is it mashma in the word lemor? Amar lo dichtiv lemor. When it says in the word lemor, it's as if to say, lo ne'emar bidbarim. It's as if lo ne'emar. Lemor. Lo ne'emar. A negative was said bidbarim in these subjects. Again, lemor, lo ne'emar. A negative was said where? In these subjects. Be rav amre lemor lav emor. Or he just says it like a nutrikun. The word lemor stands for lav emor. A negative is being said. And therefore, the just like Rabbi Yehuda says, by the case of the korban, that is considered a lot of because of the word lemor, so too if a person would eat the korban pesach early, right? Sleeve. He eats it early. He's transgressing a lot ta'aseh. What do you mean? The pasuk says va'achilu ta basar balayla. It's aseh. No, it's an aseh from that pasuk. But the lemor turns it into a negative. Comes the Gemara and continues. Me tashmisho shel nachtom. So what do we say? We said that the bakers that make the matzah, they used to soak their hands in water. Now, since they have dough on the hands, when they're going to soak the hands in the water, what's going to happen to the water? It's going to become hametz, because the dough is in the water. So what do we say you have to do with it? You have to get rid of it. So comes the Gibran and says, Tani Hada, we have one statement, Shofchein bimkom medron. You have to spill it in a place that is on an incline, because you don't want it to collect. You just want it to, you know, roll down. Ve'en shofchein bimkom ashborin. But don't throw into a place where it'll create a puddle. Because what's going to end up happening? It's going to still stay there. Now, obviously, we're talking about in the case where you're throwing it in your possession. I mean, it's not in the public domain where it's not yours. It's still in your domain. And therefore, if it's going to land in a puddle, what's going to happen? You still have the hametz there. But we have another bright that says, Shofchim bimkom ha'ashborin. Now, you can even throw them in a place where it's going to make a puddle. So make up your mind. Where do you throw these menachtom? So it's like kasha. Ha'denefishe. If it's a lot of water, dekavu, where it's going to collect, then you have to throw an incline. Because what's going to happen? By the time it gets down, it'll just get swallowed up and absorbed into the ground. But if it's not substantial, it's not a lot, so it's no problem. You can even throw it just straight down, because since it's so little, it'll just absorb into the ground regular. So it all depends how much water you're throwing. Basically, we don't want you to have a puddle out of this stuff, because it will be hametz, and therefore, in a case where it's a puddle, then you have to throw it on the incline, just in order to get rid of it. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Isha lo talush ela b'mayim shelanu. As the famous Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, a lady that's making the matzah for Pesach, she should only knead the dough with waters that were drawn the night before, and they stayed over the whole night, and then used them the next morning. Shelanu, meaning it stayed the night, right? It slept overnight. Now what's the logic? So that she tells us that at the time of year that you make matzot, the wellsprings underground, the water is warm. It's the way it is. That's the way the sun is. The sun causes the waters underground during the time of Nisan to become warm. We don't want the warm water to get in contact with the flour, because it can make hametz quicker. So then what does he say to do? Leave it overnight. By leaving it overnight, what is it going to do? It'll cool off. So that's what he said, Mayim Shelanu. Darsha Rav Matna bePapunya. So Rav Matna said this derasha over in Papunya. It's a place. Rabotai, you have to use Mayim Shelanu. So the next day, what happened? Aitu kule alma hasbayu. So everybody brought their buckets the next day. Ve'atu legabe. And they came to Rav Matna. Ve'amru le havlan maya. Give us water. They thought he meant Mayim Shelanu. our waters. Which is, they thought that matzah got up and said you could only use our waters for the matzah. So these people had a lot of emunat hakamim. They didn't ask questions. They came the next day with their buckets. Okay, we need water, hakam. You said ma'im shelanu. Amar lehu ana b'mayad dibitu amne. So he said in Aramaic. He said, no. Ma'im shelanu, shelanu, or in Aramaic, dibitu, that it slept. Meaning you don't have to use my water. I'm just telling you, you have to use water that rested over night. Darash Rava. Isha lo talush b'hamma. A lady should not knead the dough of the matzah in the sun. That's obvious, because the sun will cause it to become hametz, to heat. Velo behamehama. And not in something that got heated from the sun. Which is not in a place that got hot from the sun. Or for that matter, all the more so, if something got heated from fire. Meaning basically not in a hot place. So comes the Gemara and says, right, as she says, what is hamehama? Bemayim shuhamu behama. Let's say with water that got heated in the sun. She shouldn't use it. Because again, the hameaur, or the Moses should not use water that got heated with fire because it's hot. Velo bemayim hagirufim mina mulyar. Now, if you remember when we learned Masechet Shabbat, mulyar was like a type of urn, okay, where there was coals underneath it. So even when you take the coals away, the water that's in the bottom of the mulyar is very hot. So therefore, they're telling you, do not use water from a mulyar in order to knead the matzah. Velo tagbiya yadam min atanur. She should not take her hand literally out of the oven. Ad shetigmor et kol hapat. Until she finishes all the bread. Now what does this mean, she shouldn't take her hand out of the oven? So there's a couple of pshatim over here. Some say that she shouldn't stop working the dough until she puts it in the oven. Because we know as long as you're working the dough, it cannot become hametz. So they're telling you, work it to the last minute until she sticks it in the oven and it gets baked. That's one explanation. And some explain, shelo tagbiya yadam mehesek atanur ad shetigmor afiyat tapat. Meaning, do not leave her hand out of the oven, meaning constantly fuel the oven while the matzah is in there, so it'll remain hot in order that it bakes well and does not become hametz. So it's either she shouldn't stop working the bread, the matzah, until it goes in the oven, or she shouldn't stop working the oven until the matzah is baked. And we continue. Gemara continues. Just want to get that. Lashon v'tziricha, should say. V'tziricha shne kelim. When she's baking the matzah, she should have two vessels in front of her. Ehad shemekatefet bo, one where she makes kituf. Kituf, right, where she takes some water and she bastes the dough with it. And she puts some water. Now that water obviously has got to be cold, because you want cold does not make hametz. Ve'ehad shemitzanenet bo et yadeha. And then you have another separate bowl where she dips her hands in it in order to get her hands cold. Now why do you need separate ones? So that she says, because by constantly placing her hand in the kituf waters, they become warm. And therefore, you don't want those waters to be used for the tzinun, for the tzonen waters. Yeah, you have cold waters, and you have kituf waters. You shouldn't mix them up. Comes the Gemara and says, Iba'ilu. Avra v'lasha mahu. Let's say a lady, she baked the matzah with hot water. What's the deen? Is it hametz or is it not hametz? What's the deen? Really, we don't want her to knead with hot water. She did it. What's the deen? Avra v'lasha mahu. Mor Zutra amar mutar. Mor Zutra says no problem. So long as she was careful and she made sure that it didn't become hametz, it's okay. Rav Asher amar asur. Rav Asher says no, it's asur. Amar Mor Zutra mina amina lehu. Where do I get my shita that says it's mutar? So he says the Tanya. We learned on yesterday's daf. En lotetina si'urim bepesach. If you remember, we learned that you're not supposed to make letita. Letita is you're not supposed to soak the se'urim, the barley, before you make the matzah. Why? Because when you soak it, the water causes it to become swelled, and it can become hametz, right? So it says ve'im litet, and then we said, what if somebody did it? We said it depends. Nitbakeu asurim. That they split, that's a sign of chimus asur. Lo nitbakeu mutarim. So therefore, just like you saw over there, the hakamim said you shouldn't do something, but if you did it, it's okay to an extent. So the same thing over here. You shouldn't need it with hot water. But if you did need it with hot water, it's okay. So that was the proof of Morzutra. So comes the Gemara and says, "V'Rav Asher Amar, Atu kulehu hadam mehitam mahtinu." What, you're putting all the the lesson is: are you weaving one thing in one weave? It's a mashal, which means you're putting all the halachot in one basket, so to speak. When you try, just because you found a din over there. But that doesn't have nothing to do with the deen over there, which is just because the rabbis were lenient in that case of Netita, does that mean the rabbis are lenient in the case of Maim Habim? Two different subjects. So the Gemara says, you're weaving it in one long weave, which is you're making one halakha on everything. Lo itmar. Where it was said, it was said. Where it wasn't said, it wasn't. Meaning, in the case of Netita, the rabbis, for some reason, didn't make a knas. If you made Netita, they made a haluk. Did it swell or didn't it swell? But in this case over here, they never said it. And they said, you shouldn't do it. And therefore, maybe I'll tell you what. And if you did do it, the rabbi's going to put a knas on you and say, asur. So therefore, don't bring me a proof from Netita to the case of using mayim, amin. And therefore, could be, it'll be asur. Hadran alach kol shah. And now we begin Be'ezrat Hashem, the third perek of Masechet Pesachim. Ve'elu ovrim ba'pesach. The following items, if a person has them in his possession on Pesach, he's over bal yira'eh and bal yimatzeh, meaning these items are considered chametz to be over bal yira'eh and bal yimatzeh. Comes the Gemara and comes the Mishnah, gives an example now. Kuta hababli. Now we're going to wait for the Gemara to see what all these items are. Shechar hamadi, chometz ha'adumi, zetum hamisri, vezoman shil sabaim, va'amilan shil tabahim, vekolan shil sofrim. Common denominator between all these items, they're all considered chametz, that if a guy has these items in his house on Pesach, he's over bal yirei and bal yimatzeh. Rabbi Eliezer omer, af tachshitei nashim. He says, even the ladies' jewelry. Now we'll see what the ladies' jewelry got to do with chametz. The Gemara will explain, but he says, tachshitei nashim. Something with cosmetics, exactly. The Gemara will explain it. Zeh haklal, here's the rule. Kol shu mimin dagan. Anything that is from the grains, from the five grains like we learned, harez yo'ver b'pesach. Right? Yo'ver b'alire b'alimatzeh. So the Mishnah says, hare elu be'azhara ve'en behem mishum karet. All these items over here, yo'ver, meaning it's isur, but you do not get karet. Which is the Gemara is going to tell us a hadush on these items. There's certain items that we just mentioned in this Mishnah that are edible. But for some reason, if you eat them, you get a lotase, it's asur, but it's not the isur of hametz that's subject to karet. Alright, so that's already, we'll see in the Gemara why. So basically, let's review the point of the Mishnah. We listed certain items that you're over bali re bali matzeh, means hametz. It's not karet if you eat it, but you get a lotase. All these items do have dagan in them. They need to have grains in them, obviously, and therefore it is asur. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan. There were three things that were said regarding the Babylonian kutach. Now, if you remember, the Babylonian kutach was like a yogurt type of item, and they also used to put in it bread, and the bread would get moldy in there, and it would make it very, very, very strong. Basically, it was a condiment that they used to eat. It's called kutach. So three things were said regarding kutach. Number one, mitamte mitalev. Number one, it clogs the heart.
and it blinds the eyes. Umachish et aguf, and it weakens the body. Metamtem et alev, why does it clog the heart? Mishum nishyubei dehalba, because it has in it nishyubei dehalba, which is whey, which is a byproduct of milk. Umesamet ainayim, it blinds the eyes. Mishum milha, because it has in it salt. And many people, they eat the kutan and they put their fingers in their eyes and it causes them to go blind. And it weakens the body. Mishum kumnita de'uma. Kumnita de'uma, she says, epushap, meaning because of the mold. They put bread in there also, and the bread becomes moldy, and therefore it causes a weakening of the entire body. Tarubanan. Gimel devarim marbim zevel. There are three things that cause a lot of zevel in a person's body. A lot of waste. It promotes waste in the body. V'chofefin et hakoma, and it causes a person to be weak, meaning literally he's walks over, hunch or bent over, meaning weak. V'notlin echad mechamesh mod mor einav, and it takes away 1/500th of his eyesight. Shel adam. One of these things. Elohim. Pat kebar. That's the black bread, that's the bran bread, v'shechar hadash, and new beer, v'yarak hay, and raw vegetables. So these items cause these things. Taru rabanan, shlosha devarim, that she just gives you an example of raw vegetables, kegon kirishin, that would be like raw leek, betzalim would be onions, v'hazrin, hazrin is like a type of lettuce. When you eat them chronically and eat a lot of them. There are three things that a person eats, it causes less waste in the body. It gives a person strength, meaning he's able to walk erect. And it gives a person good eyesight. Pat nikiya, that's clean bread made with fine flour. Basar shaman, fatty meat, v'yayin yashan, and old wine. And the Gemara explains, patnikiya, when we say patnikiya, clean bread, nismida, we're talking about where it's made from smid. The smid is the solit, meaning the fine flour. Basar shaman, when we say fatty meat, ditzafirta delo iftah. That's eating from a female goat that never gave birth. That meat over there is the best, healthiest meat. Yayin yashan, and when we say old wine is good, atik atike, meaning very old. Rashi says 3 years old wine. Kol mile de ma'ale lehai, that gives you a rule. All the things that we just mentioned that are good for one thing, kasher lehai, are bad for another thing. The general rule. You know, it fixes one thing, but it's detrimental to another. Ude kasher lehai, and all the foods that are bad for one thing, ma'ale lehai, are good for something else, which means no food, right, is good for everything, which means the one that give you a holy live, but it's good for the eyes. The one that's good for the eyes is bad for the heart. So therefore, the Gemara says, except bar mezangabila retiba. Person has raw ginger, upilpele arikta, that's the long peppers, upatnikiya, and the clean solid bread, ubasar shamen, and the fatty meat, v'yayin yashan, and old wine, we said 3 years, temale lekule gufa, that's good for the entire body. Now the Gemara goes back to explain some of these items that we talked about in our Mishnah. Shechar Hamadi. What is this Shechar Hamadi? Literally in the beer of the Midim. What is that? Deramu be me sa'are. That they make the beer with the water of the barley, which means in the olden days they used to make beer out of dates, and therefore the beer from Midi or Madai, they did it a different way. They were the ones to make it with barley, so therefore they got the nickname Shechar Madai, and therefore the Gemara, they would take the water, put barley in it, become fermented or strong, and they would make beer. So therefore that would be Hametz, and therefore the Mishnah says specifically that type of beer.
V'chometz ha'adumi, the vinegar of the Idumians. What makes the chametz vinegar? Deshadu be'sa'areh. Because again, they would put barley in it. Rashi says they would actually put barley in the wine in order to spoil it, to make it vinegar. Because the Edomians, they had very strong wine. Their wine would never turn into vinegar. And if they wanted their wine to turn into vinegar, they had to do something to it. How would they turn their wine into vinegar? They would put barley. So therefore, that becomes hametz. So therefore, that chometz of Edomi is a problem on Pesach. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzhak. Well, some don't have the Gersa Bar Yitzhak. Okay. Betchila, kesheyu mevi'im nesachin mihuda. Originally, when the times of the Beit HaMikdash, when they used to bring the wine libels on the Mizbeah, I had to put wine on the Mizbeah, they used to get the wine from the area of Yehuda. Lo haya yenam shel Yehuda mahmitz. The wine of Yehuda was so strong and so powerful, it would never go sour. It would never become vinegar. Ad shenotnim letocham se'urim. You had to put barley in it in order to make it vinegar. Ve'ayu korin oto chometz setam. Which means, and they would just... There was no such thing when they would call vinegar, they would just call vinegar chometz. Which means stam chometz was taking barley and putting it in wine. That was the interpretation. All the wine of Israel was like that. The wine was strong. It would not turn into vinegar. So when you heard the word chometz, what did it mean? That you put barley in it. Ve'achshav. But after the destruction of Yerushalayim, en yenam shel adumim mahmitz ad shenotim letocham se'orim. Now it's the opposite. All other wines turn into vinegar on their own. And the only wine that stays strong until you put the barley in it is the adumim. Ve'korin oto chometz adumi. And that's why it got the nickname chometz adumi, because only their wine is strong enough that it doesn't turn into vinegar until you put the barley. The kayem ashneemar, and the pasuk was fulfilled on this pasuk in Yehezkel, immalea ha'horava, which means literally, I will fill the destruction, meaning immeleazu harevazu, the immeleazu harevazu, which means Israel or Yaakov and Esav cannot simultaneously be enjoying success. If one is full, the other one is destroyed. And if the other one is destroyed, the other one is full. And therefore, as long as we had the Beit HaMikdash, the Berakah was in our wine. Once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, our wine would become vinegar, and the Berakah went to Edom, that their wine remained strong. So the Pasu came true. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak amar mehacha. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak says the same hashkafa from here. Ul om mil om yematz. Meaning, one nation will overpower. Meaning, it's never going to be two nations in power. Either Yaakov rules over Esav, or Esav rules over Yaakov. Meaning, it's only one nation that rules. Tanya. We have a braita. Amar Bihuda. Bihuda, originally in Yehuda, but Ishona, originally, Halokeya Chometz Ma'amaris. If a person would buy vinegar from an Ama'aris. Now we know that there was a time where the Ama'aris was suspected not to give his Ma'asrot. And therefore, whatever you bought from an Ama'aris was called Demai, and therefore you had to take Ma'asrot yourselves. So the Gemara says, there was a time where a person would buy vinegar from Ama'aris, enot sarich le'asir, and you did not have to take ma'asir. Why? Mepenes shehazaka eno ba ela min hatemid, because hazaka it most probably came from what's called temid. What is temid? Rashi lefish mark. That's what it's called in English. Lefish ayayin ayatov. the wine in the olden days was very good, ve'enu mahmitz, and it did not become vinegar. Ve'stam chumitz shenahem, and if they would get vinegar, min temid hayaba. Temid is like where they would take, let's say, the sediment, not the sediment, they would take some residue of, let's say, the grapes, and they would soak it in water. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there was no need to take ma'asot, because it's just water. It's not grapes. It's not wine. It's not wine that went, if it was wine that went sour, then you got a problem, because the Amharis has to take ma'asot on wine. But in those days, the beracha was in the wine, and therefore vinegar was only made from water that they would soak in, let's say, some grape skins and things like that. Therefore, there was no problem of ma'asot. Mm-hmm. But now that we have the kedala, halokeya chometz ma'amaris, sadik la'asir. And now, when you take vinegar from an amaris, you must take ma'asir. Shazkato enova ela minayain. Because today, where's the vinegar come from? From spoiled wine. And therefore, the amaris doesn't give ma'asir on the wine. Therefore, you have to give it. Mesabar biyuda. So Gemara asks, does the biyuda hold temid lav bar asureva? Because the biyuda just said what? That when the amaris, when they would take it from temid, there's no din of ma'asir. So the Gemara says, oh yeah, there's no din of ma'asir on temid. Veha tenan. We learned in the Mishnah, ha-mitamid. Mitamid means a person makes temid, meaning he takes the water and the grape skins, and he soaks it in there. Ve'natan mayim bimida, and he put the right amount of water, he put the measure of water. Umatza kedem midato. And he took out the exact amount of water, which means it just, the temid just gets a color. But bottom line, you're taking out the same exact amount of water that you put in, patur. You're going to be patur, because bottom line, what is it? Water that has color. V'Rabbi Yehuda mehayev. But the Yehuda said, no, temid, mehayev. So therefore, you just told us before, that what? If you take temid from ma'amaris, there's no chayuv ma'asir. And here the Yehuda is telling us, indeed, there is a chayuv. Because haki kamar lo nichshedu ame'aris ala temid. Which is what he meant to say was that the ame'aris, they were not suspected on the temid. Meaning, since it's not so hashuv, what's the reason why the amar doesn't give ma'asir? He doesn't want to spend money. He doesn't want to give. But since temid is cheap, what is it? Some grape skin soaked in water. Right. Hey, he'll give it. So that's what he meant when he said above lo nechshedu. Well, when he said that if you buy temid from Muhammad, you don't have to give ma'asir. Not because it's not hayav. It is hayav, but they give it because it's cheap. Iba'etema nechshedu. Or I can tell you no. They are suspected that they don't give the ma'asot. Vela kasha ha bedruvka ha bedefurtzane. It depends how they made the temid. Rashi, let's get the words. V'ibayet eman nechshedu. V'Rabbi Yehuda b'matnita kamaita tamim mishum depatur afidu ma'aser vaday. ובתמד פורצני כמה שנותים מים בחרצנים והוא מחמיס ומרתיח לאחר זמן כיין התוסס ואין הוא תמד ונת באלה קיועה דפירה והדקטרי ביהודה מחייב בדרווקה. דרווקה is the sediment or the leads. What is the sediments? Sediments adds actual wine in there. So they put the sediments in there, then it is Hayuv Ma'asir because there's actual wine. And that's when the Mishnah said, "Metamed, you have to give ma'asir according to Yehuda." And the other case was talking about the furtzaneh, for instance, the pits, the seeds, the shells, the skins. There's no wine in there, and therefore, in that case, you would not have to give ma'asir because there's nothing, there's no substance. So therefore, we can say, really, according to this answer, really, the Yehuda said there's some cases where they have to give ma'asir, some cases not. It depends how they made the timid. If they made it with the calling it the leaves or the pulp or the sediment has wine in it, mamash, so there's wine and you gotta give ma'asir. If they just made it from the skins and those parts, so therefore you don't have to. So that's one way to reconcile the Yehuda. Comes Gemara and says v'zetum ha-misri. Right, one of the items in the Mishnah we called it zetum ha-misri. What is it? Ma'i zetum ha-misri. Tana Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef taught Tilta sa'are, it's one third barley. Tilta kurtame, what is kurtame? Saffron, one third saffron. The tilta milha, and one third salt. That's the ingredients. Rapapa mapik sa'are, Rapapa had a different recipe. He takes out barley, umayel hite, and he puts in wheat instead. Now, how are you going to remember which rabbi said barley? It was Rabbi Yosef that said barley, right? So the Gemara says, "V'simanach sisne," which means there's a certain vessel that was used for holding dates. The vessel is called a sisne. That's how you remember that Rabbi Yosef is the one that said se'orim. Just remember the word sisne. You have two samichs. Yosef, se'orim. So v'simanach sisne. That's how you remember. If you want to remember this machloket, who holds what, you remember that word. Now, tarilehu, first you would soak the ingredients together. Vekalulehu, then you would toast it. Vetahanelehu, then they would grind it. Veshatulehu, and then they would make a drink out of it, and they would drink it. Middibha vad atzarta, and the time of year that they would drink it was from Pesach until Shavuot. It was a seasonal drink. Now, the kamit, if a person was constipated, merpe, he becomes, it's like a laxative for him. The merpe, merpele. Udrafe, and if a person was loose, diuretic, makmitle. Makmitle would cause him to bind him. Fine. Lechole ul'isha ubra sakanta. But for a sick person or a pregnant lady, sakana to drink this item. Mm-hmm. Why? Because since it's a laxative, it'll make them more sick. In any event, you see over zituma misri is hametz, because either it has barley or it has in it wheat. Next item. Vizuman shil sabaim. Now sabaim, you know, are painters. But what is Zuman Shal Sabayim? Hacha Targimu Mayad De Hevre. This is Mesubin. Water that they soaked in it, bran. That Sab'e Behu Labba. That they would paint the skins. It would be red. So therefore it's some red dye that has in it Subin. Subin is bran. Hametz. Soaked in water. Ve'amilan shel tabachim. Now, what is the amilan shel tabachim? Tabachim literally are the bakers, right? But what is the amilan, the bread of the bakers? Or the, so the Gemara says, pat tibua, it's wheat bread, shelo hevia shlish, that did not ripen a third of its growth. Now, what do they do with this flour or this dough? Shemaniha al pi kedera, they would place it over the kedera, v'sho'evet zuhama, and it absorbs all the frost, they call it. But that's like all the bad smell that comes from the tavshil. They would cover the pot with this like dough, and it would catch all the zuhama. Again, it's a hametz item. That's why it's a suit to have it in your possession on Pesach. V'kolan shel sofrim. Now, another item that we said is asud is kolan shel sofrim. Now, literally, your sofer is a scribe, but we'll see what this means. Hacha, meaning here in Babel, targuma, they explained it, parva de ushkapi. Right. That she says glued, which we interpret as glue. That she says the shoemakers would have a certain glue that they would glue different pieces of leather to each other, right? And they would put flour of chiffon, that's rye, okay? Now, if it's shoemaker's glue, you can ask a simple question, why is it called then, shel sofrim? Mm-hmm. It should say shel ratzanim. The Gemara is going to ask that question immediately. But that's the opinion of the rabbis of Babel. That it was edible, again. Now that's right, not edible, but Bamat Hamet. So you're over by Rebbe Matzeh. As we'll see in tomorrow's Gemara, they're going to give us a proof that even non-edible Hamet is still chametz to be over. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Gemara says, Rav Shimi mechozna'a amar. He has a different interpretation of what this item is, kolan shel sofri. He says, Ze kifulan shel benot ashirim. This is the depilatory of the rich girls. What is depilatory? That removes hair from their body. Now, shemishayrot oto lebnot aniim. The poor girls, they couldn't afford this depilatory that was made out of fine flour. So what would they do? They would use limestone, the poor girls. But sometimes the rich girls, when they would have their leftovers, what would they do? They'd give it to the poor girls. Now there was flour in this depilatory, and therefore they would call it kolan shel sofrim. Sofrim could also mean hakamim, school teachers. Now school teachers are usually poor, and therefore their daughters would get the, you know, leftover depilatory of the rich girls. So kolan shel sofrim, the leftover sediment of the depilatory for these anim. Now, why is it in hametz for the rich girls? Because the rich girls use it right away. They make the mixture and they use it right away, so it doesn't become hametz. But the leftovers already has been sitting there for a while, so it's able to become hametz. So therefore, for the aniyot, this item would be a problem. So Gemara Zini, he says, we have a question, a contradiction. Veha Tana Rabbi Hiya. Rabbi Hiya made a statement regarding our Mishnah. And he said, Arba'a Mine Medina. There are four items in our Mishnah that are universal, that are used by all. Ushlosha Mine Umanut. And three items in the Mishnah that are used by craftsmen. Now, let's try to figure out the subdivision that he made. Four universal items and three craftsmen. So let's look at Rashi. Three lines on the bottom. Ve'atani rebihiyah, ve'ayif simana ba'ani demanitin ve'amar, arba mine medina shenu behem etzichun lechol adam, ben uman, ben lo uman. Sharei lemachal rufu asin. For example, what are the four? Kutah, everybody eats kutah. Shekhar, everybody has beer. Chometz, chometz is vinegar. And this, zetum. Right, zetum is that mixture of one third. So those are four universal items. Now, you have the other three. You have the zuman, that's the paint of the dye, right? The kolan shel sofrim. Kolan shel sofrim also is the glue. Okay, that would be used for, let's say, the shoemakers. V'amilan shel nachtomin. And then you got the amilan shel nachtomin, is that special dough of the nachtomim of the bakers, which is also in Uman. So basically, you have over here, the breakdown of the Mishnah is four items of universal usage and three items of specifically craftsmen. Now, the i'amat tifudan shel benot ashirim. And if you tell me that kolan shel sofrim is a depilatory that's used by the rich people and they give it to the poor people, my mine umanut ika. That's not in the umanut section then. That's used by people. So therefore his breakdown of three things used by craftsmen is not correct according to that opinion. Because if you learn it's a shoemaker's item, it's a craftsman's item. Craftsman's glue. But if you're learning it's a depilatory, so that's not the proper breakdown. The breakdown would be 5 and 2. 5 universal items and 2 craftsmen. But he said it's 4 and 3. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela mai. So what do you want to say? Parva de ushkape? Oh, so you rather learn it that it's talking about the glue of the shoemaker? Amai karele hai kolan shel sofrim. So why do they call it the glue of the scribes? Kolan shel tzanim mevalet. It's called the glue of the shoemakers. Amar voshaya leolam parva de ushkape. It is the glue of the shoemakers. Umai karele kolan shel sofrim. The sofrim name medabekan beuni yaroten. Because scribes also use this glue. What? Not to glue leather, because they don't work with leather. But they glue their what? Their papers. They used to have papyrus, right? So they have their papers, so when they need to, you know, make them one, to make them, they glue it together. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer said, Av tachshite nashim. So the Bili Ezer said, another item is Hamas. What is this item that's Hamas? Takshite Nashim. So the Gemara says, Takshite Nashim Sakadatach? The ornaments of ladies are Hamas? What does that mean? Ela Ema Af Tipule Nashim. Again, back to the depilatory. Tipule Nashim, the depilatory that the ladies use to take the hair off their bodies would be considered Hamas. Benot Yisrael. If you have the Jewish girls, shegiu lepirkan, meaning they reached puberty, meaning they start to have hair on their body, velo egiu leshanim, but they didn't get to years yet, meaning they're not really of the age that they're supposed to be showing signs of puberty, and they matured young. So therefore, they're embarrassed of it. So they would try to get rid of it. So what would they do? Benot aniyim to float otan besid. The aniyot, the poor girls, what would they do? They would take it off a limestone. Benot ashirim to float otan besolit. And the rich girls, they would take it off with fine flour, with a mixture. So therefore, that's the takshite nashim. The takshite nashim is this, the depilatory. Now, the question is a very simple question. According to what we learned above, according to the opinion of Rav Shimi Mihozna'a, he was the one that said that the case of Kolan Shel Sofrim was a depilatory. And now Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, Aftak Shitei Nashim. What do you mean? It's also so how did you learn the first one, Rav Shimi, was talking about a depilatory? If you knew clearly to be the eyes, and also the Mishnah says after the Tashi, basically they're saying the same thing. So that's really the Tosfot's question on Mem Bet Amud Bet, the bottom Tosfot. And we read it inside quickly. Vim Tomar, Imken, Hayu Tashi Tereshim, Vetiretzari de Orleans, the Hacha, Mighty Bepanim Shel Ma'la, De Lo Ma'is. I mean, Rav Shimi was talking about the pilatory what? For the upper part of the body. I mean, for the facial hair. Kol kakish tofim apenem betakshiten nashim anu bepanim shel mata, and
different kinds.
Right, the takshiten nashim of Rabbi Eliezer was talking about the pubic hairs in the private parts, which is a different item. Comes the Gemara and continues. We're on the third line. Benot melachim, the princesses of the queen kings, b'shemen amor. They wouldn't use not limestone, they wouldn't even use solid. They would use a special oil called Shemen Amor, the myrrh oil. Shnei Amalek, it says in Megillat Esther, Shisha Chodashim B'Shemen Amor. The girls, before they went to Ahasuerus, so they would take 6 months in the spa over there. What would they do? They would put on them Shemen Amor. My Shemen Amor, Avona Bar Yirmiyah Omer Satchat. It's called Satchat, which is like balsam. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar, Shemen Zayit Shelo Evi Shlish. It's olive oil that did not ripen to a third of its growth, and that special type of oil does for the body. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amir, Anpekinin. This item is called Anpekinin. What is Anpekinin? Shemen Zayit Shelo Evi Shlish. Meaning he calls it Anpekinin. What is so special about this oil? What's the benefit to anoint oneself? It takes off any hair, and it smoothens and makes soft the hair. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.